Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome back here as we enter into our second hour here. The world famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't and they shan't, brother. And truth is our bitch on this show. We have Ray Orloff with us in the offing in just a moment here. Ray is going to talk to us about his organization, the U.S. Taxpayer Republic. And their stand today, they went public with this, talking about cutting out waste and so on and so forth. The reopening of the investigation into Natalie Wood, they feel, is a classic example of government waste. And that is that this is an investigation into the death of a movie star or celebrity that only holds interest for the documentarians and academicians and historians of Hollywood land, and overall has no real validity for the rest of us. It could very well be that case, or it could be that if you look at Natalie Wood as an average American citizen, her death was suspicious. There were questions long after she died as to how she died. The official explanation that was given was one that left a lot of people cold. And there are people to this day who would like a little something more about her death. Now, maybe it is because she's a celebrity more interested in it, that we won't let it go. That we need to find quote unquote closure or answers. Closure. Maybe we just have a ghoulish preoccupation with the deaths of celebrities and so forth. But this is something that has been prompted and has been instigated by the Los Angeles. Well, at least it's being pursued by Los Angeles homicide investigators, the LA Police Department. And they've reopened their investigation of Natalie Wood's death 30 years after the actress drowned in the waters off of Southern California. It was off of Catalina Island out here, about 26 miles from the nearest point of on the mainland, which would be Orange County. The renewed look at Ms. Wood's November 29th, 1981 death was prompted by new information that detectives received about the case, according to a Los Angeles County Sheriff spokesman, Steve Whitmore. Understand that this is county business. It's not L.A. city business, because her death took place out in the waters of the Pacific near Avalon, which is Los Angeles County. Am I right about that, or is that Orange County?
Seems to be Orange County.
Well, these are L.A. County Sheriff that are talking about this case. So, a spokesman for Wood's husband at the time of her death, Robert Wagner, said the family trusts the Sheriff Department will take appropriate action, but has not been contacted about the case being reopened. Now, Natalie Wood drowned after a night of partying with husband Robert Wagner and her Brainstorm co-star. What do you mean, flatliners?
I thought it was flatliners.
It was Brainstorm. Her Brainstorm co-star, Christopher Walken, on the couple's yacht anchored off of Santa Catalina Island. Her death was ruled an accident. It was determined that she had been drinking before her death. The office wrote that Wood was possibly attempting to board the dinghy and had fallen into the water, striking her face. A dinghy that had been attached to the couple's yacht, Splendor, was found in a Catalina Cove. Obviously, it had drifted away somehow after it had become loose from the yacht. Los Angeles Times reported the detectives were prompted to look at the case again after comments by the ship's captain, Dennis Davern. He was recently interviewed for a collaboration between the magazine Vanity Fair and the television series 48 Hours Mystery that focuses on Natalie Wood's death. We're talking about November the 29th, so I guess the 30-year anniversary. Boy, I tell you what, if it wasn't for these anniversaries, we wouldn't be interested in anything, would we?
Yeah, well, remember when they had Jonestown? You interviewed all that guy about Jonestown.
Yeah. Well, that was a really good interview we did with that guy that that was the writer that was shot on the runway. And then we also interviewed the chap who wrote Columbine. You're right. It's anniversaries do seem to renew our interest in these cases. So, although no one in the Wagner family has heard from the L.A. County Sheriff's Department about the matter, they fully support the efforts of the L.A. County Sheriff's Department and trust they will evaluate whether any new information relating to the death of Natalie Wood Wagner is valid and that it comes from a credible source or sources other than those simply trying to profit from the 30-year anniversary of her tragic death, said Wagner's spokesman Alan Nyrob. Wood, a three-time Oscar nominee, famous for her roles in West Side Story, Rebel Without a Cause, and other Hollywood hits, was 43 when she died. Boy, was she young, man, when she did Rebel Without a Cause.
What do you mean?
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do is, well, if she was 43 and she died, 23, 13 plus 3, she was 16.
What do you mean?
What are you asking me? What do I mean, bud? She was 16. That's what I mean. She was young, and so was Sal Mineo. Sal Mineo was a punk kid. So the only guy that was over the age of 21 in that whole set, or of the three of them, was James Dean. He was 23. Or 24, whatever.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's still...
It's a lot older than 16. Anyway, a three-time Oscar nominee... She and Wagner, star of the TV series Heart to Heart, were twice married, first in 1957 before divorcing 6 years later, and then they remarried in 1972. It's very interesting. Wood's drowning sparked tabloid speculation that foul play was involved, but Wagner and Wood's sister have dismissed any suggestion there was foul play. Lana Wood wrote in a biography on her sister, "What happened is that Natalie drank too much that night." Wagner wrote in a 2008 autobiography that he blamed himself for his wife's death. He recounted the night of Wood's disappearance, during which the couple and Walken drank at a restaurant and on the boat. Wood went to the master cabin during an argument between her husband and Walken. The last time Wagner saw his wife, she was fixing her hair at a bathroom vanity and she shut the door. Wagner wrote that despite various theories about what led Wood to the water, which she feared, it was impossible to know what happened exactly, which she feared. Let's get on here. Ray Orloff's going to join us. And Ray is, as I mentioned, with a public interest group of a taxpayers group, is going to talk with us here. Ray, how are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing very good, Bill, and I'm anxious to talk with you about this. I can't really solve any problems relative to the Natalie Wood drowning, but I can comment on what I think is you used the word master cabin. I think this is a masterful waste of public money and a masterful manipulation of information by the news media. And I'm very, very grateful for you to bring us on your program so we can talk to the American people about what U.S. Taxpayer Republic is all about.
Well, all right. So here is a comment that I thought was a good entree to you. And that was that Wagner wrote that despite various theories about what led Wood to the water, she feared, it was impossible to know what exactly happened. Here's something, you say this is a waste of time. She was afraid of the water.
Well, I'm going to cut to the chase with you, Mr. Henry, and tell you that I don't really care whether Natalie Wood was afraid of the water or not. I'm sorry that that young woman died at a very young age, relatively, 43. I am not a movie fan to the extent that I follow these people when they are not in front of me in a motion picture, so... I can tell you that while I enjoy the usual entertainments that most Americans enjoy, I don't fixate on the lives of these individuals. And to ask me as a taxpayer to fixate on this story 30 years following the, and yes, it was tragic, the very tragic death of this young woman, to ask me to pay for this anew and to refocus my efforts on celebrity watching and the very ghoulish preoccupation the news media has in this country of following the lives and deaths of these people ad nauseum, I will not partake of. I will not let them cross that line that I've drawn in front of myself. And the U.S. Taxpayer Republic is fighting this through the only means we have, which is the media.
And well, through the only means that you have is the media. Can you not contact the L.A. County Coroner's Office or the investigating agency, the sheriffs, or whoever is in charge of the sheriff, the supervisors of the L.A. County, and talk to them about what you see as a massive waste of money?
We can do a lot of things, Phil. I don't mean to be. I'm not trying to be glib, but I can sew myself some felt wings, and I can put them on a green suit and call myself a leprechaun. I can do a lot of things, you know.
And well, no, I'm not trying to be absurd here.
No, I don't think you are either.
I'm just simply saying, how are you going to fight this fight through the media? You don't want money spent investigating Natalie Wood. How are you going to fight this through the media?
I'll fight it through the media the only way I know how, and that is using the different avenues available to American citizens. Let me explain. There was a joke that was very popular at the time of Natalie Wood's death. And the joke goes like this. What is the only wood that doesn't float? And I'm sure you know the answer.
Yeah, Natalie Wood.
That's right. Now, the joke wasn't funny at the time, but I think the joke is very funny now. And I will tell that joke, and I will probably get a few people angry at me, but not near as many people would be angry with me today as would be angry with me then. And why will I repeat that joke? To show people the absurdity of this investigation into Natalie Wood and her death. So I will say again, what's the only wood that doesn't float? Natalie Wood. Is that in bad taste?
Yes, it is.
I don't think it is, Mr. Henry.
Yes, it is. It's in bad taste.
I don't think it is, Mr. Henry, because what's in bad taste is... I don't think it is, Mr. Henry. What's in bad taste is wasting the taxpayers' money, sir.
All right, I can hear you very, very well.
You can hear me, but do you hear what I'm saying? That's what's in bad taste.
I think the joke is in bad taste. I think the joke, what's the only wood that doesn't float, Natalie Wood.
What is in bad taste is reopening this case. And spending money on it.
Well, do you not want justice?
I want justice for everyone. I want justice for every man, woman, and child in the United States of America. And were it in my power, Phil, to grant Natalie Wood justice during the time of the investigation into her death, I would have gladly granted that young woman justice. But I can't do anything about it now. And in the meantime, they're going to go into an investigation of this death and why are they doing that? Because a book's coming out. Because the anniversary is coming up. So I say again, what's the only wood that doesn't float? Natalie Wood. Is it in bad taste? No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And I would ask your audience then. And I would ask the people that manage your radio show then. And I would ask the people that are producing your show then. Is it in bad taste? And you'll find that you are in a minority of one. And you'll find that the people in this country and in the city of Los Angeles and L.A. County agree with me that it is not in bad taste. And you saying that it is in bad taste...
It is in bad taste, 30 years after her death.
Then you can say, then because you have a radio show, you keep saying it's in bad taste. Don't do that, Mr. Henry. Show me the courtesy of allowing me to have an opinion that you don't disagree with every second and every step of the way. I am not doing that with you. I don't have the power of the microphone that you have.
You've got a very strong speaking voice, Mr. Orloff, and I can hear you. I'm going to be hearing you all night. You've been yelling into the phone, okay? And
if I'm yelling into the phone, I'm trying to make a point here. Now, what's the only wood that won't float? Natalie Wood. Is it in bad taste? No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
And every time I say that, you have to use the bully pulpit against me. Your audience is witness to this.
I don't think people, to be honest with you, know what it is you're talking about.
Oh, and you do, huh?
Yes, I do, sir. I know that you don't want to spend money on a worthless investigation into the death of Natalie Wood some 30 years later. But by repeating a tasteless joke that had been used for, you know, making the rounds back in 1981 and saying that it's not tasteless doesn't necessarily make it so. Tell me why you don't think it's tasteless.
It's not tasteless because of the elapse of time. It's not tasteless because it, quite frankly, is a very benign... But it's not tasteless more than anything because if they're going to stick another bill into the mail slot of the taxpayer... And that bill would be the investigation of Natalie Wood's death. Then we need to get something for our money. Some value for our dollar.
And telling that old tasteless joke...
It is not tasteless. And I'll say it again, sir. It is not tasteless. And we are trying to get value for our dollar. If they're going to reopen the Natalie Wood case... And I am imploring you not to keep... harping on the fact that it's tasteless, I beg you, because the only thing that we have as taxpayers is the ability to repeat that joke, to say that joke, and get some level of satisfaction out of that.
I think it's a pretty weird and weak way to get a level of satisfaction. Boy, we are really late for a break. Hold the line. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Natalie Woods, the investigation into her murder is reopening, and this man is against it as a representative of a taxpayers group. He says the only payback is to tell that tasteless Natalie Wood joke over and over again. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL, and on the line with us here is... We have on the line with us here Ray Orloff from the U.S. Taxpayers, the U.S. Taxpayers Republic. Tell me what that means, Ray.
Well, the U.S. Taxpayers Republic is an organization of taxpayers who, and it's a euphemism to mean that we have our own jurisdiction. We feel we have our own moral and ethical jurisdiction, if you will, a country or at least a familiar domain where we are resident. And control our own money. We don't necessarily consider our money the province, the purview, and the property of the United States government. That's what that means. And that's why we call it that. We don't call ourselves a union because that means that we're a part of some larger corporate entity.
Well, you're citizens of the country.
Of course we're citizens of the country. Of course we are.
All right. Then what does it mean, U.S. Taxpayers Republic?
It's just a euphemistic term to represent the fact we consider ourselves emancipated from the country insofar as our money belongs to us.
Okay.
All right, you understand? And so that means that we have the right to control our own dollars, to do with our money as we wish. There are many ways, Phil, that you and your audience can probably quote better than I, the many ways the government wastes our money. This is another example. This Natalie Wood investigation some 30 years after she has died is a way of taking money, good money, and to satisfy the ghoulish curiosity of the press.
Well, we don't really know any of these things that you're claiming here, Ray. You're saying it's the ghoulish preoccupation of the press and the fans. And
yes, we do, because...
Well, no, we don't, because we've got the L.A. County homicide investigators have said that they've talked to the ship's captain.
Oh, they've talked to the ship's captain. Let me say this. They've talked to the ship's captain a multitude of times during the investigation. Now the man writes a book and they want to talk to the ship's captain again. I will say to you and to your listeners that this is a very classic example of them trying to get over on taxpayers by saying, my goodness, there's new news. Natalie Wood, in her investigation, we have new news as to how she died. We're going to investigate that. It may take a few months. It's going to cost some money. And the next thing you know, we're on the hook for millions and millions of dollars. Well, as long as they do that, we have to stand up to it.
And your way of standing up to it is to tell this Natalie Wood joke.
My way of standing up to it is to interdict or stop the flow of nonsensical communication between the investigating agency, the Los Angeles County Sheriff, and the press and the people, as if it's something important. No, it isn't. So we will insert into that an absurd communication of our own. What Wood doesn't float?
It Natalie Wood. I get it.
Don't say it before I say it, because what we're doing here, since I've been on your program, Mr. Henry, and I appreciate you having me on the program, you're not exactly allowing me to tell you how our program works. And
well, I've been trying to give you a chance.
Well, when you interrupt me telling the joke, you're interdicting that form of nonsensical information that we're trying to... I'm saying to people, what kind of wood doesn't float?
Natalie Wood.
And you did it again, and...
All right, well, then what do you want me to do?
I'm telling the joke, and we can talk after if you want, but please don't interrupt it. What kind of wood doesn't float? 2, 3, for Natalie Wood.
Okay. And you're going to go on talk shows?
We have been on talk shows. We've been on Ken and John in Los Angeles. We've been on the Steve Spear show, the Steve Spear Review show in Dallas, Texas. We have been on in Houston on KPRC, on the Michael Berry show. We've been on, I've been on a lot of these shows. What kind of wood doesn't float? One, two, three. Natalie Wood.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, where our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with me here is the Ray Orloff from the United States Taxpayers Republic, as we continue discussing with him the reopening of the investigation into the death of Natalie Wood. And you might ask yourself, well, why do you have a taxpayer advocate on talking about that? Well, you might also be answering the question yourself, saying, oh, I see, it's probably about money. And welcome back, Ray.
Phil, not to interrupt you, I love what you just said there. I really not, you know, I heard what you said, it's probably about money. And, you know, you said it in a sarcastic way, and that's okay. We're used to that in the U.S. Taxpayers Republic. We encounter that all the time. We encounter that kind of stupidity. I won't say it's stupidity, but I must say, Phil, yes, it's about money. Of course it's about money. They want to open up an investigation into a woman's murder.
Well, hold on for a minute.
I haven't finished yet. They want to reopen an investigation into a woman's murder.
Well,
I have not finished yet. They want to reopen an investigation into a woman's... The reason why I'm pausing, I'm going to tell you why I'm pausing, Phil. I'm pausing to see if you do jump in, because I want to know what kind of a man I'm dealing with. Am I dealing with a man who has the normal grace and the gracious manner to allow me to say what I want to say?
Yes, I do.
I haven't finished, sir.
Hold on. No, I haven't either. Yes, I do, but you're not getting to the point, and you must get to the point.
My point is this. Natalie Wood was a famous person who died in 1981 of the month of November, and the celebrity surrounding her death and the interest from the media has caused this to be reopened to the tune of millions of dollars. It's a waste of money. And we're saying something about it. Now, I'm looking on the TV right now, and I'm looking at a great man by the name of Michael Dunn. Michael Dunn was an actor. He was what is called a little person. A little person. Michael Dunn probably was 3'11", 4', I don't know how tall he was, but a great performer, a great actor.
I know who you're talking about.
Yes. Michael Dunn is a great man. But he was a little man, a little person, what they call a little person. You don't say the other word. You don't ever say the other word. That's what our taxpayer republic is represented by, a little person standing tall. So that the Natalie Wood investigation...
All right, thank you very much, but we're getting into speech-making here, and I can't do it. I want to go to a phone call here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Margaret, go ahead.
Phil, I want to ask this gentleman just a very, very simple question. Is there some reason why you seem to be hostile to this investigation other than the money? Because I knew Natalie Wood. I was very, very fortunate to have interviewed her before she died. She was a phenomenal actress, a great talent, a great artist, and someone that, yes, we did pay a great deal of attention to, and we wanted to know what happened to her. So what is the overall problem that you seem to have with closing the chapter or the book on the death of Natalie Wood?
All right. I will answer the lady's question the best way I know how. You said you interviewed her, so therefore you're a member of the media, correct?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Yes, I said I am.
Yes. Okay. So you have a vested interest.
But
Hold on, I have not finished yet.
I won't be spoken to like that. I'm sorry.
I haven't finished yet. Hey, you're talking to my wife. What are you? I'm the husband of the lady you're talking to. Please advise the lady that Ray Orloff hasn't finished yet. Ray Orloff is talking. I don't give a damn what your name is. You're talking to the woman that I love, and he is trying to make a point. What do you mean he's trying to make a point? What do you mean he's trying to make a point? Are you gay? Are you gay? Was that a man I was talking to or a woman? I'm going to tell you something right now. I will find you. I'll get in my Jeep, which I can warm up right now, and I will find you. You'll find me in your Jeep. You'll get into your Jeep. And then what will you do? You will drive your Jeep to me? Yes, I'll drive my Jeep to you. I'll find you, and I'll beat you so bad, you're in a hospital bed for 6 months. You'll find me in your Jeep. You'll find me in your Jeep. Do you hear how that flows off of the man's tongue? This is what I mean. This is how what I'm saying. These are the things that I try to import.
I think you sound as if you are absolutely out of your mind. You sound as if you have an emotional problem.
I have an emotional problem because I don't want to waste money investigating the death of Natalie Wood. Is that what you want me to say? Do you want me to sound like a sing-songy, naggy little girl? I don't want to waste money on Natalie Wood. Many of you people in the media, and I've seen you and I've read you. You have given Natalie Wood a two-syllable last name. Such has been your sycophantic attachment to Natalie Wood. I've heard you say Natalie Wood. Wood's not good enough for you. So I say to you again, what wood doesn't float?
And I am absolutely objecting to that disgusting and unfunny and ridiculous joke.
What wood doesn't float? Don't interrupt me.
No, you don't interrupt me. I am absolutely objecting to that joke, Phil.
I think the joke is over.
Don't interrupt me. Don't you interrupt me. Your name is Margaret, isn't it?
Yes, my name is Margaret, and I object to that horrible joke.
Your name is Margaret, and I hear you count down your songs. You go 1, 2, 3, Delta, Don, what's that, etc. So when I tell my joke, I'm entitled to the same timing.
I think you're out of your mind.
I have not finished talking.
In a moment, I'm going to finish you, okay?
I've not finished. What wood doesn't float? 1, 2, 3. Natalie Wood. Natalie Wood doesn't float. Natalie Wood doesn't float. We know she doesn't float. We found her not floating. And you know what happened?
She was dead.
She was dead. Give the lady a cigar.
That is no reason to mock her. She was a lovely woman, Phil. She was a wonderful artist.
Absolutely.
She would.
Oh, look it. Now you're talking to the host and you don't want to talk to me. The media sycophant who gave Natalie Wood a two-syllable last name, Natalie Wood.
I never called her that. You sound like you really got a mental problem.
What's your problem talking to my wife like that? I'll give you a two-syllable last name. What's your last name? My last name is a two-syllable last name. Orloff. Orloff. What's your last name? My last name is a two-syllable last name, too. Grahe. You see what they do? You see what they do, Mr. Hendry?
I've about had enough of this from you, sir. I want you to listen and not to yell. You have been yelling all the way through this interview. You have not given people...
But I have to yell!
You have not given people a chance to talk. These people have called in, and they've expressed what I think is perfectly acceptable sadness and disgust. Sadness over reminding them of the death of Natalie Wood, and disgust at the way you're handling this.
I'm handling this the best way I know how.
Sir.
Hold on now. Hold on. I'm handling this the best way I know how.
Sir.
Hold on. Hold on. I'm handling this the best way I know how. 2, 3, 4. By talking directly to the people. 2, 3, 4. In your audience.
You are really mental, aren't you?
Please don't interrupt. No, ma'am, I am not mental. I want to save the people of California money in investigating a woman who a woman's death who we know died, who we know doesn't float. What kind of wood doesn't float? Let's hear it again. Let's hear it again. Let's hear it again.
You don't...
Please don't interrupt me. Don't ever interrupt me. What kind of wood doesn't float? 2, 3, 4. Natalie Wood.
You can repeat that tasteless joke as much as you want, Mr. Orloff. It's not going to get you, in my opinion, it will not get you followers.
I don't want followers. I'm not Little Bo Peep, and I'm not the Pied Piper. I'm not followers. I'm not Jim Jones. I'm not Sun Young Moon. I don't want followers. I'm not someone on Twitter. I'm not someone on your face. You know that one? On your face?
Facebook.
Thank you. Now, the people of the state of California are not going to pay for this.
I think you have been very crude. I think you've been very rude. And, yes, just so you know, my husband would be very happy to meet you anywhere.
Now, give me that. I'll meet you anywhere you want. And when I get done with you, I will beat you so bad you'll first be in great pain, but then you'll be beaten so bad you'll begin to thank me for it until finally you'll want more of it. That's how painful and how bad I'm going to beat you. You call me crazy and you say that you're going to beat me so bad that I will first be in great pain, but then it'll get so bad I will begin to enjoy it and ask for more. Yes. Do you understand what we're dealing with here, Phil? A country that's going to hell in a handcart and a woman and a man saying they want to beat me so bad that I'll begin to enjoy it. What kind of wood doesn't float?
Okay, get... 877-876-PHIL. If that guy thinks that insulting the name of Natalie Wood or insulting her death is going to win him converts to his cause of not paying for the reopening of the investigation, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't even know who Natalie Wood is.
I wouldn't expect you guys to know, but she's an actress who died a long time ago. 877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
Truth.
The Phil Henry Show here from the Old
bitch.
Pacifico.
The Phil Henry Show.
2, 3, 4.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And one story that we didn't deal with tonight at all, because there wasn't much in the way of new revelation, although it is a story that continues, and that's the Sandusky story. Now, we have this article here at ABC, Penn State scandal, mother of Sandusky's adopted son speaks out. Mother of Sandusky's adopted son speaks out. I think this is stretching it, but...
Why do you say that?
Well, I don't know. Let's see. The birth mother of Jerry Sandusky's youngest adopted child has come forward saying she believes the former Penn State coach led her son on a path of self-destruction and that she contacted authorities years ago about her son's safety. Oh, I seem to remember hearing of this woman's comments. Well, this story is new as of today, the 17th. Deborah Long told ABC News in an exclusive interview that sharing her now 33-year-old son, Matt, with Sandusky had been a nightmare after the coach became the boy's guardian via foster care in 1995. Long says that she watched as her child became enamored with the local hero and then increasingly frightened by Sandusky's behavior. It was Jerry Sandusky, you know. Any 10-year-old kid is going to be impressed by Penn State football, she said, and then it was the gifts, you know, money and clothing and whatever. It was as if Jerry owned Matthew. I don't know how credible this woman is. She gave this kid up for adoption.
What does that mean, she kid was a foster?
The kid went into foster care, man. Now, he's got a birth mother here, and I don't know, maybe she had problems. She had to give the child up for whatever reason, and perhaps it's not right for me to judge. Nonetheless, children are a responsibility. I don't give a crap what your problem is. You have a kid, you got a kid, let's go, man. I know it's, you know, life's tough. Life's tough. You know, it's just, it's not fair. You're not, things shouldn't happen to people the way they happen, but they do. And because it's not fair and it sucks and you wish things, that doesn't give you the right to put a person's life at risk, meaning the kid that you had. Well, I shouldn't have had the kid and the father isn't here and the this and the that and the something else. I don't give a damn what your problem is. You're going to have to start stepping up to the plate. Yes, you're right, it isn't fair. You're right, these guys that have children, they take off, they got to find every last one of them. Don't make them pay. I think they ought to be shot where they find them.
You're kidding, you think I'd shoot them?
Any guy that would run out on his kids and not pay for them, I don't think he deserves to live, no. You want to spend all the time, go find some deadbeat that doesn't pay for his children, he runs out on purpose. Yeah, I'd find that guy, drop him in a hole.
Like in Casino.
Just like in Casino, yeah.
I'll dig a hole. Where's the shovel, you know?
Yeah, I live with Joe Pesci said that.
Right, well, this isn't fun and games. Matt Sandusky, now 33, is not named as one of the 10 victims in the grant. And, you know, he's a 33-year-old man. Let's hear from him, okay? But Deborah Long says that the once-welcome Sandusky soon became a source of fear for her son, as she would take the boy out of school when he was 15 years old, as he would take her out of school, unbeknownst to her. My son was afraid of Jerry. If Jerry said, don't talk, he didn't talk. I would sit back and watch when Jerry would show up. I don't know, man. I've got a problem with what this woman's saying, because the child, the young man in question is not a victim. He hasn't been named as a victim. He's not being, Sandusky's is not being investigated. Vis-a-vis the, you know, possibly abusing his own kids. This is just all of a sudden, out of the blue, the birth mother of one of his foster kids weighing in and piling on. I'm not saying the guy's a good guy, but 4 months after moving into the Sandusky home, Matt attempted suicide along with another girl who was staying in the house, according to a report in the Patriot News. After the suicide attempt, Terry L. Trude, a school-based probation officer, wrote a letter to a local judge asking that Matt's care at the Sandusky home be reviewed. The probation department has some serious concerns about the juvenile's safety and his current progress in placement with the Sandusky family. The adoption file for Matt Sandusky contains letters from Long to officials and a Center County judge expressing concern for her son. Matt Sandusky still supports Jerry after he was arrested on charges of 40 counts of sexual assault. Matt even brought his children to visit Sandusky after his November 5th arrest. But the mother of Matt's kids immediately went to court to obtain an order preventing Sandusky from being alone with her children. Now, this was something that was reported like 2 or 3 days ago.
Who's this?
This is the mother. This is basically his daughter-in-law. Sandusky's daughter-in-law. She doesn't want him around her children, his grandchildren. These are the children of Matt, his adopted son, and his wife.
Yeah, this guy Matt, just the lady said that he was trying to kill himself and everything.
That's what is in the record. When he was very young, he's now a 33-year-old man, and according to this, he has no problem with his father, his adopted father, supports him, brought the kids to see him while he was in jail. But the mother, as I said, she went to court to obtain an order preventing Sandusky from being alone with her children. Now, here's somebody that nobody's been talking about, and just what I've been reading about her is kind of a little sort of weird, is this guy Sandusky. It's his wife. You know about her?
They said something about his wife calling people up.
Yeah, the Jerry Sandusky's wife has called, at least in one instance, she placed a phone call to one of the alleged victims 2 weeks before this man was to go in front of the grand jury. And her message to this alleged victim was, very important, please call. And he did not call. He didn't return the call at all. He said it was out of the blue, this alleged victim who is unidentified. He said it was out of the blue. And, of course, no, I'm not going to call these people. I haven't had any contact with them for years. And she's calling him with 2 weeks ahead of the grand jury. You better watch out, lady. I don't know who you are other than this guy. He's going to suck you down the hole with him.
That jury tampering.
Thank you. Well, that's not jury tampering. That's contacting a witness. You could get it for trying to intimidate a witness. That's a big, serious crime. The other thing was that this wife of Jerry Sandusky, she called her daughter-in-law, Matt Sandusky's wife, the woman who got this restraining order, and she called her to say, hey, don't worry about it. The kids are going to be safe. Which, I mean, this is not exactly going to be very convincing or very consoling because this man this cat has been arrested for the very crime that you are assuring her will not take place. I maybe she's right. And maybe the wife is somehow, you know, maybe she's as brainwashed as everybody else. I don't know. But, I mean, this woman is reaching out and doing a lot of contacting, making a lot of phone calls, and basically, you know, acting as the social director here for Jerry Sandusky while his ass is twisting in the breeze. So that's pretty whack. In the aftermath of Sandusky's unexpected interview on Rock Center with Bob Costas on Monday night, a number of witnesses are now ready and willing to testify in court that they were sexually assaulted by the coach. Nice going with that interview, by the way. One more.
Boy, that guy, he made the biggest mistake of his life. Going to be talking on everything on the TV.
By the way, I wrote a blog for Radio Inc. For those of you who are radio aficionados or those of you who are in the industry, in the business, please watch for my blog, Bob Costas Turd. No, I'm kidding. It's just the comments that I made the other night about Bob Costas' interview. Bob Costas is a very great guy. We'll be back. World famous. Phil Henry Show. We'll be back.